I'm going to continue talking on spiritual growth today about the difference between spiritual growth versus spiritual experiences and spiritual achievements. I think I'll title the message, No, That's Not Spiritual Growth. Because, probably like you, I had seasons of my life that I chased experiences or spiritual achievements and thought I was growing and maturing, but really I was staying the same, but just being more busy in things that I would call spiritual. And I want us to start in the Word in 1 John, and I want to show to you the imagery in the Scripture throughout all the New Testament shows that when a believer is born again, there's a process of maturing in the Spirit, a process of growing up in the Spirit. And if we neglect this process of maturing, we can stay immature in the Spirit and never know it. A lot of people will spend 20 years of their life doing the same thing, feeling good about themselves and God, but find out down the road, I haven't changed in 20 years. I'm still struggling. The same thing that held me back 20 years ago is still holding me back today. The same thing that I fought with 20 years ago, I thought I had changed, but really it's still there. And what a shame to live your whole life and not know that you haven't overcome the very thing that's holding you back from all the things that God has for you specifically. I'll use my two men as example. Again, if I were in a service preaching really good about heaven and hell and two men came to the altar to get born again, one man to my right would be a very well-dressed man, a doctor, well-disciplined, a nice outfit, good finances, a good family, a good home, a nice car, has his retirement saved up, everything the world would say is successful. And then on my left is another man who came in off the street and was a drunkard, and his family had given up on him and quit on him, and he'd given up on himself, but he decided to get born again. They're both the same age. One is a good man as far as his lifestyle. The other one is dysfunctional and very troubled in his decision-making. But both are now born again. That means in that moment, they both became new creatures, new creations by God, born by the Father into Christ. If I were to stop right there and take the man who's well-dressed and well-disciplined and put him into the church world, mostly he would be classified as a successful Christian. But everything that he has, all of his discipline, all of his healthy structure in his life, that he eats right, he doesn't run around on his wife, he doesn't cheat on his taxes, he doesn't lie, he's got a good character. Up to that point, everything he has is really birthed out of the natural man, the natural ability. He just got born again. Where the other man who just got born again is equally born again. They didn't get different classes of new natures. But he's going to still fight with a lot of dysfunction. And the difference is the dysfunctional one knows that he's dysfunctional. He needs help from God. The other one who's got his act together may never know he needs to change and grow and transform into who Christ made him, and may walk his 20 years or his whole life serving God with a discipline developed by the natural man before he was saved. I have a lot of experience as a youth pastor. When I first started out in ministry at 19, I became a full-time minister, and I was dysfunctional. I thank God for it, just for the fact that I knew I was dysfunctional and I needed God's help. And I'd hate not to be dysfunctional at that age, because then I may never reach out to God. So I'm kind of thankful that I was dysfunctional. We had a lot of people saved, and as a youth pastor especially, we had a good outreach. And we had a couple of young guys get saved, well, a number of people, but a couple specifically got saved out of Satanism, that were very involved in Satanism. And they started coming to church. That some of our people in our youth group reached out to them. They came to church, and one especially was a good-looking kid. And I'll never forget, all the girls were waiting for the moment for him to get saved, because you can't date him when he's not saved. And so, I mean, that would be against kind of the standard. So that poor boy, the moment he accepted Christ, he had a list of girls running to the altar to try to connect with him. And they weren't missionary dating. They weren't trying to date an unsaved guy to bring him to salvation. They're waiting for him to get saved because now it's legal for them to date him. But really, how much transformation happened other than receiving a new nature? Did he still have to fight some of the bad thoughts, some of the bad habits, some of the habits of drugs, the habits of insecurities and weaknesses and fears and not just sinfulness, but all the stuff that he had in his natural man, all the brokenness in him? Even though he was born again, he's still wearing the same body, the same outward man. How much did he change the moment he got saved? Is it now allowed if you have a daughter? You know, if you're a full-grown man and have a daughter like me, would I allow my young daughter to date a guy? She's too young right now to date anyone. Maybe when she's 30, I'll let her date. But would I allow my daughter, if she was at the age of dating, to say give my stamp of approval on someone who's just born again out of Satanism and out of drugs and say, okay, he's saved, you're free to date him? Just like we had lots of young guys get saved who were good at music and they played different instruments and they had a band before they were saved, and the whole group got saved, became in the youth, and all of a sudden this group that had a band, nothing huge, just a little band, now all of a sudden they want to use their gifts for God. So at what moment do I allow them to say, okay, you can start leading worship and start writing songs? And that's what they wanted. I mean, it was almost instantly that this group said, hey, we want to become a Christian band now and just change our words and play the same music, but just change our wording. You know, like, what can they write? What do they really know about God when they're just born again? Yeah, God could use them. I'm not against that. I think the moment someone's saved, God wants to work with you to touch other people. But I want to emphasize the importance of spiritual growth, because if you're not careful, you will think you're growing and think you're changing, but really you're not. Really, you're just getting busier and having experiences, but nothing changes. That's my point of this message, is to say, what is spiritual growth and what is experiences and achievements? Because there's nothing wrong. I'm not preaching against experiences or achievements or doing things for the gospel. But if we neglect spiritual growth and spiritual maturity, then we will stay the same and just be busy and feel good about ourselves and think we're doing great with God. And it'll be 20 years down the road or longer that before you realize, wow, I haven't changed. I'm still fighting the same thing. I have a friend who almost 70 and still fighting for her dad's approval, and her dad would never give her approval, and it was kind of a brokenness in the family, and it ended up being a controlling situation with the dad, that he would withhold approval and she would constantly seek that approval. And I remember telling her, say, you know, I hate to tell you that you cannot look to your earthly father for approval. That's not fair, that's not necessarily right, but your dad may be broken, and you don't need to remain broken, constantly fighting for your dad's approval. Now, here's a girl who, at 12 years old, wanted her dad's approval and was rejected. Now she's 70 almost and still fighting for her dad's approval. And, you know, it's like you think after 60 years, you might get the hint that he's never going to change. And you just might have to quit expecting that to happen. And that's the danger of not living a life that pursues spiritual growth, but just living a life serving God. Because you will find down the road that things don't just disappear. Things don't just change, even if you want them to change. As a pastor, I've had many conversations with people saying, well, I just really want things to change. I just really want this to change. And my why is this thing so hard? Well, the natural body, the natural man, doesn't disappear the moment you're saved. There's a process of mortifying that goes with spiritual growth. And I want to show you in 1 John chapter 1, just a few verses here. John writes to the church and says, I write to you, this is verse 12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So the first thing I want to see is the imagery that's being imparted to us as the readers. That the imagery here is to look as John writes, and he says, I'm writing to you little children. He calls them little children. This is not an insult. This is an image that he's trying to write to them. He says, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Then he writes in verse 13, I write to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. So now he gives us another image of a father. Now, it's impossible for a newborn baby to father another child. They biologically are not mature enough to do that. The imagery here is that there's, in the body of Christ, little children, and there's fathers. A father gives the imagery of someone who's able to reproduce maybe their characteristics in others, but the imagery is a full, mature, capable man, capable person. So here we see, I write to you little children, and then he says, I write to you fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. And then he says, I write to you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And then again, I write to you little children, because you've known the Father. So here he gives us three images of three levels of maturity that you can instantly comprehend and understand. That we can instantly see that image in our mind that he is talking to the church, and he's saying there's little children, there's young men, and then there's fathers. And it shows that God is not trying to leave you as little children. His purpose in your life is never to leave you as little children, needing to nurse all the time, needing to drink milk, but to take you from being a little child through the process of being a young man or a young person into being a father or someone who's leading and strong and caring for others. And so in that process, if we ignore that and just think the moment we're saved, we're to have experiences, but we don't invest into maturing, then we're going to be like that, those two men who are born again. One man who's capable, who's naturally mature, naturally capable, naturally disciplined. He eats right. He's healthy. He's got money in the bank. All his stuff is paid for. He works hard. He has a natural, and these are all great attributes, but he came to those attributes by the natural ability of this world because he wasn't born again. That's why you hear often people complain about Christians because they have spiritual experiences, but yet they're immature. They're behind on their debt. They lie. They're mean. Often, as a preacher, you hear people say, I know people who aren't saved who are better Christians than you Christians. And because they've experienced some unmature, immature Christians, you know, you would think that we'd be better behaved as believers. And so one of the problems we run into and have run into and are running into as a church in the church world, we can pursue spiritual experiences and spiritual achievements, and that cloud of things could overtake you to where you think you're having more of God in your life, but after a few years, you figure out, I really haven't changed. I haven't transformed. And understand the process that God has available for you and for me is that no matter where you're born again, whether you're the drunkard or the well-disciplined man, because again, my concern is that we take a well-disciplined man who never achieved any of that from the spiritual world. He wasn't born again, so he was just taught and he fought and he became disciplined. Now that he's born again, we place him in the church and he could probably stand up against many preachers in his character, his characteristics. But he came to those characteristics in the natural, not from the spirit. The spiritual man has to grow in the knowledge of God the same way the natural man did. And so we still want the same fruit, but we want the fruit from the tree from the spiritual side of you instead of from the natural side of you. I remember one time I was in an airplane flying to go preach, and I was sitting there and I looked down. And as I looked down, I saw an image of my belly area, my middle area. And I looked down and there was a tree trunk. And I looked and my middle section looked like a tree trunk, my belly area. And I looked and I thought, and I heard the Lord say, that's how you should see yourself, or that's how he's seen me and I should see myself, as a tree. And instantly I understood what he was saying, that up till that point, I kind of looked at my life like a farmer. I looked at my Christian walk like a farmer, where you plant seeds and you receive. Now, I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about just planting seed. And like a farmer, if I planted lots of seed, I would get a good harvest every year. Harvest of character, harvest of different things, harvesting more of God. But by understanding that I was to see myself as a tree instead of a farmer, is two totally different paths. A farmer works hard. A farmer, if you know a farmer, my dad is a farmer, so I understand, not because I've farmed hardly ever, but from his stories, but a farmer has to work hard. A farmer gets up in the winter and starts preparing his machinery and get his supplies ready. Springtime, he prays for the right weather. He prepares the land. He's got to plow it up. He's got to fertilize it. He plants the seeds. Then he prays for rain. And then as it grows, the farmer has to pull out all the weeds and protect the crops from the insects and fertilize it some more and pray for sun and pray for rain and sun and rain. And then at the end of the season, when harvest is ready, he prays for a dry season. He has to go out and he has to harvest that crop. Now, then the next year, he has to do all of that again. Every year, he has to continually work to sustain the same lifestyle. He has to continually work to stay where he's at, to keep supplying and providing for his family. He has to continually work, and while he's working, he's got to pray for no disaster, no flood of locusts, no rainy season at the wrong time, no lack of rain. So he's got to have his seed ready before the next season, and if he eats all his seed, he won't have anything to plant to harvest again. So being a farmer is hard work and dangerous work, and God bless the farmers. Now again, I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about that's how I live spiritually, by constantly trying to experience God and walk with God like a farmer would, always every year having to keep working, but never really growing past that workload to provide what it was providing. And when I saw the tree, I instantly understood, and I'm going to take you to the verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, which is what the Lord used to help teach me to stop being a farmer in my spiritual life. Again, the title of this message will be, No, That's Not Spiritual Growth. And I say it like that because I don't want you to be confused in your life or even deceived that you're changing and growing and transforming, when actually you're just having experiences and achievements and you're being like a farmer. You're being busy, and because it's spiritual, it feels more spiritual, but you haven't really changed. It's like, I'll never forget being in services, and I'll give you a few examples today. But one service, there was a preacher that we had, and he was a good preacher, but he preached excitement. And so what was happening was, it would pull an excitement out of your emotions, your natural emotions, to where you begin to feel in that moment, yes, it's going to be okay. And you might hear some, and these are good things to be excited, but really they're to bring hope, not so much answers. And so he preached to where you would get excited that, yeah, that's possible. God is going to take care of things, and God is going to come. But the problem was, when he leave town the next night, I'd have people come to me because they would say, you know, last night the preacher said that things were going to change. The preacher said that God had something for me and that was going to change. That circumstance was going to change. That situation was going to change. That I was going to change. And I was so excited. And see, that what happened was that preacher got confused excitement with faith. And being excited in the moment is different than faith, which says, I don't care how I feel, the Word of God is true. And so many times, I remember one situation specifically, a girl got really excited about things changing in her home with her husband, I think. And so she was so excited that she went up to the altar and he said to her, you know, things are going to change when you get home. And so out of that emotional excitement that the possibility of having a life with a spouse that was really serving God and loving her was really made her just let go of everything and felt just excited and blessed, and he prayed for her and she fell out and cried And in that moment, he said, "That's it. You got it. It's done." And so that little girl went home thinking her husband would be on his knees praying and with flowers repenting for being a jerk to her all those years. And she came to my office the next day upset because nothing had changed in her spouse. What happened? What really happened? And so I had to talk to her about walking faith out. You know, that things could change, just don't give up. And so, you know, that's an experience for the preacher. That was an achievement that I got someone, prayed for someone, and they fell over in the spirit and they cried. But when he left town, he kind of left her kind of broken and more discouraged than before because of that experience. Nothing changed. And what I don't want is for us to live a life accepting things not changing, because you have access to the Spirit and you have access to the Holy Spirit. You have access to God, to a Father. You're connected to Him by your new nature. That means that everything can change. Nothing in your life can stay the same if you take a path of spiritual growth. But the danger is chasing after experiences and achievements and not adding spiritual growth to that walk. Because in the chasing and pursuit of spiritual achievements and experiences, we can feel like it's something is happening in the spirit, that I'm changing, but really you're not. In years past, the temptation from the church was to harness people, to put them to work. You got saved, you're dressed nice, you're capable. We put you to work and we build the church. We feed the poor, we do outreaches, and all those are great things. But if you eliminate the focus on spiritual growth and just focus on the natural achievements you can do as a person for God, you can spend your whole life doing lots of good works for God, but never really experience the uniqueness of your calling and the power that God wants to flow through you to change the world around you. And so the temptation years ago in the church world was to, let's get busy, let's win the world by good works. And in that was a neglecting the focus on spiritual growth. Good works, I'm not against that. I'm going for that. I think every one of us in the church should be doing good works. We should be feeding the poor and handing out tracts, doing all those things. But if we only do that and neglect the spiritual growth, then we will always stay as little children, or as the scripture says, as Peter called it, newborn babes, in our natural ability from this world, try to serve God through that. And that's the majority of the church world today. And unfortunately, when it comes to finding their uniqueness that God has specifically in their calling, they'll live their whole life out and never really experience that. And what a shame that is for any of us to not fulfill what God has for us as our Father. Because we've been born again by the Father. And so we want to be careful not to rely on the natural man to serve God only. We want to let the inner man grow up and mature in God. In that, by doing that, the things that God has for you will begin to come forward. And the world may call you crazy. A lot of church people may call you crazy as you are following God. But not crazy in a bad way, but just crazy because they don't understand how you have so much peace, love, and joy in your walk as you follow God. And so I saw myself as a tree. Now, a tree is different than a farmer. And let me just read this to you out of Ephesians 3, 14. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." So here Paul is praying that the church would begin to be strengthened by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in our inner man. So our inner man must be strengthened and matured. You know, again, the outward man can do a good job of copying the inner man, but really, if you only rely on your outward man's strength, then the problem is, if the devil wants to seek you out and destroy you, he'll be able to, because the outward man cannot handle a designed attack of the enemy. Even if you think you can, he will put enough pressure, enough weight on you to be destroyed. And unfortunately, I've seen that happen many times throughout my ministry time. Good people being destroyed. And so here the Apostle Paul writes, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. See, you can't get spiritual things from the natural. It's impossible. They're two different worlds. They're two different realms. Spiritual things must come from the Spirit. Through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being, and here's the word, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So he gives us a pathway for us to overcome anything and to mature to where we are experiencing and walking in the fullness of God, in his love and in his power. And the key word he gives us is verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, that'd be me or you, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And so this is the imagery that God gave me when I looked down at his all trunk. He said, he pretty much taught me using these verses and that image that I want you to quit being a farmer and living your life serving me as a farmer. Every year just repeating and repeating and getting a little more successful, but never really walking in rest, always having to work. In fact, a farmer cannot stop working. If a farmer's wife comes up to him and says, "Honey, I just want a $20,000 vacation for us," the farmer will put his hands up and go, "Praise God, hallelujah." And she would say, "It's to the beautiful beaches of the Bahamas, and we're going to get to go sit on the beaches for 1 month or 2 months or whatever, and at a fanciest hotel, all meals are set, and beautiful, beautiful." I talk about that because what a beautiful experience. And then she says, "It's going to be during the springtime." And he goes, "What do you mean?" "Well, during the springtime is when we won this $20,000 1 month vacation for free. Amazing? And they're going to fly us for free all the way to the Bahamas and sit on the beautiful beaches. And we will eat crab and fish and swim and do all the fun stuff. But it's in the springtime." And the farmer will say, "Well, I can't do that. Can they do it in the wintertime when we have nothing to do?" And she'll say, "No, it's only during the springtime." And the farmer will say, "Well, that's the only time I can plant my seed. If I do not plant my seed during that time, we will not have a harvest and we will starve to death and die and the whole farm will fold." And see, that's the mentality of someone who doesn't seek spiritual growth but seeks pursuing God without spiritual growth. They always have to work. They always have to be there on top of it, always showing up. They never get to rest. And that's the difference between developing like a tree, living life a tree, instead of living life as a farmer. When you live your spiritual life like a tree, if I can say it that way, you let yourself get rooted and grounded in God. And that simply means that you spend the time to grow as a tree. And see, the thing about a tree, like a fruit tree, no fruit tree produces fruit when it's immature. So I can go out to the tree store and buy a little orange tree and plant it in my yard. And I can go out after a year and say, "Well, this stupid tree, it doesn't work. They must have sold me a bad tree." So I can chop down that little tree after a year and take it back to the place I got and say, "I need a new tree. You sold me a bad tree. You sold me a dud. I need a real tree. One that's going to produce fruit." And they all laugh at me like, "Buddy, don't you know that orange tree has to grow for a few years before it can produce fruit? That you have to care for it, tend it, and let it grow. But if you're patient and let it grow strong, it will produce fruit." And see, that imagery is all through Scripture. He wants to prune you so when you start producing fruit, that the fruit will become stronger. When you cut a fruit tree, you prune the branches so that more of the power essence of that inside that tree goes to specific branches. Rather than have a bunch of little fruit, it allows it to produce stronger, bigger fruit. And that's what God does with us, is that as we grow, He begins to prune us spiritually so that we produce the right fruit and bigger fruit. And that's what He's after for our life. But when you get a fruit tree that's mature, do you understand the difference is a mature fruit tree will produce fruit without any work. Once it starts to produce fruit, you don't have to work to keep it going. Now, before it produces fruit, you can get mad at it, yell at it, come on, what's wrong with you? Or what's wrong with me? Why am I not having this fruit yet? But if you're patient and you do the right things, invest into the right things spiritually, you will grow and grow until fruit starts to come. And then He'll begin to prune you so you produce bigger fruit. But the difference between the two is one has to work constantly and work faithfully without stopping as a farmer, but never changes, always the same. He provides for His family, and He does good. Many Christians will get to heaven and be blessed that they're in heaven, but they'll never experience the rest, the restfulness of trusting in God as they grow. Never experience the rest in God, because now that I've grown and matured in the Spirit, things are coming forward without me trying, without me making it happen. It's because it's the fruit of the growth of a tree, the nature growing so much in my life. The new nature that I received, Christ in me, has now been pulled forward. The image inside that seed has been pulled forward into my inner man, and I've matured from a little child to a young man to a father, or as a tree. I've grown up to where now I'm producing fruit that the Lord's beginning to prune me, but I'm producing fruit without effort. And that's the difference between the two walks, is one walk will constantly keep you busy. And a number of years ago, a lot of the temptation for the church was to keep people busy doing things for God. What that did for you was it made you feel like you were accomplishing something. I mean, we've all built churches and we've all done many great things, and all of them are great and important. We should never neglect anything like that. But if we do that only and focus on that, there's a feeling like that girl had in the service where you feel like you are changing your life. But really all you're doing is being busy and feeling better about yourself. I'd rather grow in God and change and transform into who God has made me. Nowadays, there's a temptation in the church to get spiritual. And when I say spiritual, is for the church to pursue spiritual experiences. Things like, I don't know how to say it, but experiencing moments of visions and dreams. And we're trying to have those visions and dreams. And some people talk about they go to heaven on a regular basis. And trying to have those experiences. I remember one church I went to. It was a good church. They were hungry for God. They wanted to experience God's glory. But they came to where they pursued what they would call being drunk in the Spirit, which means that they would yield over and experience the Holy Spirit or a move of the Spirit. And it was an experience. And I want to stop there because I think that's a great thing. I have a church that I love that pastor and the people know how to just let go and flow in the Spirit. And they enjoy God's presence. Like, I'm jealous of how much they enjoy God's presence. But in that church, they also teach the Word very strong and teach growth in the Spirit. But this church was only after pursuing an experience of drunkenness where they let go and just feel the euphoria of God's presence. And I did a whole month of services, and every night they would go down a path of feeling, experiencing God's drunkenness, getting drunk in the Spirit, it's called. And they would just let go, and every night though, but they wanted that every night. To them, that was a sign that they had achieved something, a sign that they'd experienced something. And so they would pursue that. And I'll never forget, I was there for a whole month, and every night they would go there. And it's not that I would take them there, or I felt not necessarily that God would even take them there, but they would, to them, unless they were really experiencing an emotional weeping or an emotional laughing or a release and a letting go of themselves. And again, I have no problem with that. But they weren't pursuing spiritual growth. And I'll never forget when I left, I prophesied to them. I said, do you know why a drunk gets drunk every night? I said, a drunk gets drunk every night to forget about his problems, to let go of the worry of their circumstances. And so in that moment, they feel great. And again, this is when I see people get drunk in the spirit or experience an excitement or a celebration in the spirit. To me, that's what it's for, is to give them a hope that don't give up, to give them a joy that things aren't going to stay the same if they don't change. But it's not to replace the things that actually change things. And I said, a drunk gets drunk so they can forget about their problems. But the problem is, if you only pursue that drunkenness, if you only pursue that experience, then you will stay the same. And you'll need to get drunk tomorrow night and the next night. And you'll end up being having to get drunk in a service or in an experience for many years. But really, if we can only add to your release and your experience of drunkenness in the spirit, if we can only just add the things that help to transform you so that you don't have to stay the same, you won't have to get drunk all the time. I said, because the thing with a drunk is they get drunk at night to forget about their problems, to get rid of the worry that's pestering them about their circumstances. But when they wake up in the morning, nothing's changed. The circumstance is still there. The problem's still there. All it did was allow them to go through that night, through that experience of euphoria, and to wake up to realize nothing's changed. And that's the life that I don't want us to live. The experience is great, but I don't want us to live there where we're always needing to get that experience because we haven't grown up. We haven't grown in the spirit. We haven't strengthened our inner man. We haven't focused on that. I'd rather spend my life focusing on developing my inner man and strengthening my inner man by the spirit so that I don't have to have an experience just to get through the day. That's the power of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not the same as spiritual experiences. A spiritual experience can be in a service, it can be private, where you experience something spiritual. And spiritual growth to me looks like this. It's very practical. It's not an experience in the spirit. It's not floating. It's not ghost-like. It's not a feeling. To me, spiritual growth is very practical. It's knowledge gained from the Spirit of God to your inner man that you're able to put to practice in your life. That to me is spiritual growth. It's like a building block of spiritual knowledge. You can't get it from the world. The world tries to copy some things, but it can't copy it. But once you get a building block of truth in you, it stays there forever. It's like a rock. You don't lose it. That's the power of spiritual growth. Again, I'll read to you out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The pathway for you and I to be filled with all the fullness of God is to be strengthened our inner man. That's different than an experience of visions and dreams and revelation, all those wonderful things. It's different than hearing in the spirit. Let me talk about that for a moment. That some people, they've developed the ability to hear in the spirit, and wonderful. And part of, I want to just stop here and say, part of my argument today is from experience, where I've seen many men, and not excluding myself in my younger years especially, who learned how to walk in the anointing, learned how to hear in the spirit, could read your mail, tell you about things by the word of knowledge, but yet were lacking in characteristics of holiness or characteristics of love and joy, because those are all fruit of the Spirit. And fruit of the Spirit is a mature tree that produces love and joy. That's the fruit that comes out. Holiness is part of that, and pursuing holiness. Well, all of us have experienced anointed men of God who have great revelation, walk in miracles, or can hear in the Spirit specifically, but yet we're puzzled when they fail on the scale of maturity of love. So you watch some anointed man have a great service, and then you see him yell at the usher and be mean to his wife, or someone who has a great revelation about God or prophesies amazing, but yet they can't be nice or they're unholy. And there's horror stories of old preachers who would have miracle tents, would pray and have all kinds of ambulances show up and miracles, and that night go in the back and have a homosexual affair, and then come back the next night and have miracles. And that puzzles you, like, why on earth, God, why is that happening? Because if we're not careful, we'll bring in the gifts of the Spirit, and we'll say, well, the miracles, the signs and wonders, the hearing of God equals spiritual maturity. But they're two different things. We can read in 1 Corinthians, if you like, how the church was called little children, were called children, carnal, yet they walked in miracles, and they weren't behind in any gift. They walked in the word of knowledge. And so we want to be careful not to lift up people who can hear in the Spirit. And if you're puzzled why people can hear in the Spirit, but yet be immature in the Spirit, it's because they're two different paths. An example would be a little child. If you take a little child, a toddler, and we have a neighbor who has a little toddler, and Ava, my daughter, she's caring, and so she knows them. If a stranger walks up and says, hey, come here, that little kid will know to run. But if that little toddler's mom or dad calls for him to come, he will come. He will hear his parents' voice and know his parents' voice. So hearing God and developing the ability to hear into the spiritual realm, or to hear into the Spirit, does not equal maturity. I had one young man come to me, he's very excited, because he quit pursuing spiritual growth, but he started to pursue hearing in the Spirit. And so he'd practice, and he learned how to hear, to where he came up to me and said, I saw something on a man, and I said, I see an image in you that you need a healing. And he said he was so excited that he was right, that he heard God. And I want to encourage that. But if that's all he did, do you understand that he could stay in that immature level of walk with God, in because he didn't develop and strengthen his inner man. He just learned to hear. So hearing isn't what I would call a spiritual experience, being able to hear things about other people, being able to hear and experience things in the Spirit, having dreams and visions or a revelation of God is not the same as spiritual growth. I would like for you to make an argument for you and I to look at spiritual growth as a very practical building block of maturity, a building block of spiritual knowledge that came from the Spirit, and that you put it into your inner man. You put it into your life and you begin to practice that. That means you've matured, you've grown, and at the same time you're able to disqualify things from the natural man that are trying to pretend that they're of God when really they're just of the natural man. The other part is experiencing spiritual achievements. Spiritual achievements would be things that we go out to do. And nowadays, again, I see the church, half the church world I find is distracted by being busy doing good works. They're feeding the poor and handing out tracts and going on mission trips. And all those are wonderful if you don't neglect focusing on spiritual growth. Those should always be what you do on the side, unless God tells you differently. It's always good to serve in the church. It's always good to participate in doing good works. That's healthy for you. It's a great thing for you to give your time. But if you give so much of your time, the danger is you'll begin to feel like you're achieving something, you're doing something. And then you can mess that up and thinking I'm growing spiritually, and not find out for years that you haven't really changed. You're acting like a farmer. You're just going every year working hard to stay at the same level with God. You might grow up a little bit. We all naturally grow up. you know, just a normal life, you grow up. But there's a path, there's a growth that you can get in the spiritual from spending time with the Holy Spirit, where He'll begin to strengthen your inner man with that knowledge of the love of God, and you'll begin to accept that as who you are and begin to walk in it. And you can say, I'll walk in it now, but the thing is, you have to develop it. You got to strengthen it. You got to grow up, mature. But as you do you know what? You won't stay the same, and nothing in your life will stay the same. No circumstance can stay the same. And so I see a lot of people, the other half of the church world, can get distracted by spiritual experiences, getting drunk in the spirit. But achievements like nowadays, going and praying for the sick and winning souls. So I would say, this is how many people I went out and prayed for. This is how many people that as achievement, I don't go feed the poor as much as I go out and share Christ with everyone in town. Or I don't go out and go on a mission trip, but hey, I go out and I share the gospel with people and I pray for people. Hey, you're sick, or I can, you know, let me pray for you. And all, again, those are all good works, but I see a lot of people getting so distracted in that they think that is a spiritual replacement for the simplicity of the gospel, a spiritual growth. So rather than letting them be led by the Spirit, they're busy in spiritual things and spiritual achievements. And I want to make sure there's a distinction in our mind between spiritual growth, spiritual experiences, and spiritual achievements. They're all good, but if you neglect spiritual growth for the sake of spiritual achievements and spiritual experiences, you might end up waking up years later and realizing you've been a busy farmer. And so if we add and focus our life on spiritual growth, getting rooted and get our roots deep into the love of God, that we allow God, the Holy Spirit, to get us rooted and deep in Him, then we will see the fruit come forward and not find out that we've been farming this whole time instead of growing like a tree. And spiritual experiences, spiritual achievements, which is going witnessing and sharing the gospel and praying for people and getting people saved, those are all important and healthy works. But if we focus the church world on those things and neglect the old-fashioned message, pray, worship, read your word, fast, just a basic message. If we can stay focused on that and then do those things also, have the experiences and have those spiritual achievements or natural achievements of building houses and feeding the poor. But if we don't neglect spiritual growth and we stay focused on that, then all those things are wonderful. But the day that you put aside spiritual growth and make your spiritual experience with God or your walk with God in your activities and your achievements or your spiritual experiences, then that's the day that you will stay the same. You won't grow or mature in God. But praise the Lord that we have a path that we can still do these great things without neglecting spending time with God. The church as a whole needs to get back to the simplicity of the gospel, needs to get back to focus on the value of each person, not the value as a whole, because you can hide in a group of people and feel like as a group we're doing this and this and this, but when you see through God's eyes, when He stands in front of a church or in front of a crowd of people, He doesn't stand at the pulpit and look down at the whole crowd. He's everywhere. That means that He stands right in front of you. And the next to you, the person standing next to you, He's right there in front of them. He looks at you like you are everything to Him. He looks at you and your calling and your place in His family as so important. And He wants to take you there to where you can walk specifically in what He has for you. And that you can overcome every flaw, every weakness, insecurity. Doesn't matter if you're the drunk guy or you're the educated guy or the strong guy. You both have the same path to grow. You both can grow through everything. And that inner man can develop and become strong. And God has something specific for you. And I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to end up 20 years later looking back and going, I'm doing a little better. I've done a lot of good things, but really, I haven't changed. When there's a path right now that God will walk with you. And if you find yourself in that place regretting the busyness of the gospel in your life, listen, most people never even notice until they get to heaven that they've been busy doing being a farmer and not doing specifically what God wanted. And so you're ahead of the game just by noticing that, hey, I don't want to be a farmer. And he'll help you to catch up any area you've missed. He's really good that way. He's really loving that way. So let's make sure that we're growing spiritually. And let's make sure that we do all those wonderful things, spiritual experiences, spiritual achievements, natural achievements for the name of God. But we don't neglect, that's the only thing I want to share today, is we don't neglect spending the right time, the right focus on growing up spiritually. Again, that's not a big, that's not a sign by miracles or experiences or dreams or visions or some people have gold dust and gems. None of that has anything to do with spiritual growth. They're just experiences. Spiritual growth is like a tree. Just grow stronger and stronger and stronger to one day you're not blowing left and right. You're a strong tree. You're rooted deep in Him. And all your nutrients, all your needs, all that you need in life come from your roots. And you pull that up from Him. You receive all that you can from Him. That He's all that you need. You don't have that fear and worry that I have to be working all the time to keep Him happy. That you have fruit that He can use to change the world around you. He has something great for you, but you won't find it in experiences or achievements. You're only going to find it from growing in Him. I love you. I enjoy our time today. Thank you for being with me. God bless you.